Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders. Listen as they identify factors that drive innovation and measure significant business results. Be inspired and influenced by their insights and outcomes. Hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC.
Well, welcome to Significant Business Results Radio. I'm your host, Fran McNeil, and joining me in the studio is Bird Williams. And Bird, welcome, good morning.
It's 3 a.m.
in the morning. So thank you for joining us. Hey, we've just been having a great pre-studio conversation, and I want to pull our listeners in and have a start by you sharing what's that significant story behind you being an entrepreneur. You weren't always an entrepreneur, but how'd you get started, and why music as part of your entrepreneurial makeup?
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, as you know, I am a longtime performer, musician, singer, composer. Now, in that sense, I've been an entrepreneur for a long time. You know, artists get a bad rap, but artists certainly demonstrate a certain business acumen because they are survivors. Anybody out here who is surviving as an artist is doing quite well. Now, as I explained to you, when I went back to check out some of your other interviews, I noticed that what I share with some of your other interviewees is the good fortune of finding inspiration early in life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How fortunate are we to find purpose early on? Because how many of us never do, much less early in life? You know, I had very, very supportive parents, especially my father. My father was very strict but very supportive. I told you my story about the Fonz. You know, I would discover that my little Happy Days record player could play any record and not just my little fairy tale records, my little nursery rhyme records. And that would launch me on a path of study that prevails to this day. You know, so it's been a fascinating journey. I would say that it took me, until my teens to realize that it was a business. And I think that what helped me realize that it was a business was that my mom had a lot of musician friends, and they would come by before going to shows, and they always looked like $1 million, you know, and I said, oh, there's money involved here. And then I would see the folks on the boob tube, you know, the celebrities jamming out, and they always looked like $1 million, and I said, oh, there's money involved here. And I began to make money as a musician in my late teens, as a studio musician. So in that sense, I would say that, that, although I wouldn't call it that, of course, that was probably my first business as a studio musician, as a session musician.
Mm-hmm. What would you call your first business? If that sort of puts you on the path to doing what you enjoyed and getting compensated for it, where was the intentional business part of it? And what were you doing exactly?
I had the good fortune of being in recording studios with some greats. I had the opportunity to watch a lot of awesome sessions go down, and then I became one of the players. And once I became one of the session musicians, you know, it was of course a nice boost in income, but it was inspirational. It was inspirational. Mm-hmm. You know, as a teen, I got to watch Grover Washington Jr. score a movie. I got a lot of studio experience with rap groups, playing keyboard parts for their tracks and stuff like that. These kinds of things would help me later on because I already knew the ins and outs of how things worked.
participate. Let's go back to inspiration. You said early on you found inspiration, whether it was Happy Days when we were talking offline, you were mentioning George Clinton. So, and now you're referring to being in the studio and seeing some of the greats do their thing. How did you transfer that, or translate that, the studio? How did you translate that inspiration into your own thing? And what is now your own thing? If someone were to go to the web, what would they see you doing or playing or seeing or being?
Oh, boy. Any number of things. You know, I am lately doing solo performances. I'm working with a very talented young lady by the name of Paulette Branson, who can pretty much pick up just about any instrument and just kill it. I am setting up my own studio in Germantown, the Germantown section of Philly, of course, which is going to be a little bit different than the traditional studio because I'm doing a number of experiments, some of which are classified. But they have to do with pitch.
Okay.
yeah. Oh,
yeah,
it's on.
The secret stuff. Woohoo!
Oh, it's on. Yeah. You know what I think is we're not even doing it right because we're not using the right pitch. We're using the pitch that we were given to sell radio.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
it's a very interesting
thought.
History.
Right. Wait. Folks will have to wait until the studio's set up and then you're producing out of the studio. So you're doing some solo performances. Where can people find you? In fact, where can people start to find you if they were to check you out on the internet?
The best thing to do now is just hit me up on Twitter. On Twitter,
okay.
I am at Birdy Tango.
B-I-R-D-Y, Tango, T-A-N-G-O?
Correct.
Okay. Why Birdy Tango?
Because around 2006 or 2007, one of my, I don't say fans, one of my friends, one of my admirers, one of my longtime supporters dubbed me Birdy Tang. And he dubbed me Birdy Tang because there was a funny movie which was produced by Chris Rock and Rusty Kundief called Pootie Tang. And Pootie Tang was too cool for words. You didn't know what he was saying, but you always knew what he meant. So, Paul Rukas, his name was. Paul Rukas made a picture where he took Pootie Tang's body and he put my head on it. And he put it on the internet, and he made Birdy Tang, and Birdy Tang was born.
Wow. Okay. So there you go. So they can find you on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Birdy Tango.
Absolutely. They can find me on Twitter. They can find me on Facebook. They can find me rocking the hottest spots in Philadelphia and the outlying suburbs. I will be making my way to Vegas pretty soon, but that's still in the works. I'm not going to spill the details on that just yet.
Okay.
You know, as I mentioned to you, I'm recovering from an injury. I was struck by a vehicle several weeks ago. So I've been out of work for a couple of months now. I'm going a little bit batty, but I'm starting to get back into the swing of things. I'll be returning to the studio next week. So I'm very
okay.
much looking
oh, great.
Forward to that.
Great. Congratulations. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Let
so,
me just take a moment to thank you, by the way. I'm thrilled to connect with you. That's the most important part for me.
Well, I appreciate that. We've known each other for a long time. We met
absolutely.
At a business development class, and I have been following you ever since.
Certainly better than a breath of the window.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's amazing how time keeps marching on and giving us an opportunity to continue to do what we love and find some things that we want to make some course corrections on because it's not as satisfying.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to kind of this intersection of doing what you're inspired to do, and music is a big part of that for you, and the intersection between that and business. How does one make a business out of music, and what has that looked like for you without sort of going through your musical resume? What are some points within your career that you're really proud of, and what are some specific results that you can point to and say, hey, you know, I did that, or I collaborated with so-and-so on that, or check this out, it reflects how, you know, when I was in this kind of period or state of mind and developed this type of music. So take us through some of that.
Well, I knew that I was really onto something as an entrepreneur when folks began to consult with me regarding their studios. And I began to design or help to design recording studios, which is a very, very interesting field. It's a field in which we still have a lot to learn regarding sonics and so forth. But what we've learned thus far is utterly fascinating. I recommend, you know, we have, whenever we get into the isms and the ists, it's a challenging thing. Whenever anyone says, this is what I do, it becomes challenging, because is that the omission of anything else? Hopefully not.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Good point.
When people begin to, you know, when the phone starts to ring, it's inspirational. I'll put it like that. When the phone starts to ring, when you get that little boost in income, that's inspirational. Because you feel validated. It's, hey, I know what I'm doing here. Hey, folks are beginning to appreciate, especially when it's something that you've been talking about for a while, and you start to see it pay off. That's really, and artists, you know, kind of catch a bad rap in this regard, but we certainly demonstrate this business acumen because we're survivors. I say, you know, as I said, anybody out here who's surviving as an artist is doing pretty well for themselves.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. What's
shout out to all the artists out there.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, what's a message of inspiration that you want to give artists who are out there that may be saying, you know, I'm loving what I'm doing, but I'm not making money, or I'm making some money doing what I'm doing, but it's not exactly what I love in terms of music and art.
Well, The business of music, the business of being an artist, is in some ways just like any other business, and it is in other ways very, very different. My challenge was getting used to administrating. My challenge was getting used to making sure that the paperwork was taken care of. And I think a lot of artists run into that because they just want to do their thing. The better administrator one becomes, the less headache one will have down the road. I think that's important. You know, it's a guy said to me years ago that people think that the music business is informal, but the music business is very formal. It's disguised in informality. And I found that to be very true.
Okay. Informality, and yet music has a definite place in people's lives. It wakes people up, it gets people excited, it helps calm people down. Where are you on that spectrum? How would you classify it? And I know that's kind of scary, but you know, what categories or genres do you fall into? The plural, so that you can run rampant.
Uh-oh. Well,
I know it's a dangerous thing, even on the radio.
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting question. I would imagine music probably ranks close to sleep in the area of importance. We don't know because we never saw a society without music and what that looks like. But it is probably... top five, right? Because we certainly have conclusive studies that, you know, we've had experiments where babies are subjected to classical music and we see how it helps them, it stimulates higher thought.
Mm-hmm.
It stimulates both sides of the brain. A person has to be using both sides of the brain to process music, much less play it.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to get lumped into, you know, one side. But no, it's actually both sides of the brain are active. So that's very interesting in and of itself, because that the theories regarding that previously were not so.
Excuse me.
You know, people arrive at enlightenment through any number of ways. It just so happens that I arrived at enlightenment through music. We can find that everything is music. And the way that we find that everything is music is through the science of vibration. We need pitch. We need constant vibrational frequency in order for matter to maintain, you know, at least the appearance of solidity. We have established that matter is just another energy variant. And we said, okay, we buy that, Mr. Einstein, but it goes even further. You see, we need those pitches to remain constant in order for matter to stay matter. So that's pitch, that's tone, that's the difference between a note and a buzz. Organization.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting pitch and tone and note and a buzz.
Yeah.
I like the other comment that music ranks close to sleep.
Probably.
That's me as a, yeah, as a quotable quote.
Probably. I'm gonna do more on that, but that's kind of where I am right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's a fascinating study.
Yeah, and I certainly am aware that, you know, babies have been people have had babies listen to classical music. I'm just wondering, given our earlier conversation, have they done studies with babies listening to George Clinton? Or P-Funkadelic, and have both sides of the brain been stimulated? I mean, you know, it's about pitch versus tone and stimulation and both sides of the brain and creativity. I mean, George Clinton, I think, kind of up there in terms of creativity.
Absolutely. You know, not a lot of people know. I met with George twice last year. We are sort of loosely in negotiations, I'll say. You don't really nail George down. He don't, you know, it's not, you know, we're not going to have a meeting. We're not going to, you know, it's just got to flow.
Right.
It's got to flow. It's got to be funky or it ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Exciting.
Yeah,
well,
I
wish you the best for that, and we'll stay tuned.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. Great. So,
yeah, I would be an example of that case study.
Okay, excellent. Bring us back. I know some folks, I'm getting some texts here. Folks want to know, again, how to get in touch with you and where, when your studio is active in Germantown, when do you anticipate that being ready?
Come see me in Germantown. Over the course of, absolutely, the next 6 months, we're starting already some experiments, but definitely over the course of next, we're going to be official at the beginning of next year.
Okay, great. Wait in 3 months.
It is going to be my personal lab, though. It's not going to be a rental studio, so that's going to be a little bit different for me as well.
Ooh, even better. So you'll have a chance to do what you want to do. And out of that, we'll be able to enjoy the fruits of your labor.
what you choose to share and how you choose to share it.
Oh, it's going to be unbelievable.
So, okay. And people, again, just to repeat, can find you on Twitter. They can find you on Facebook.
Yes.
A website?
Yes,
or do you,
at Birdie Tango on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bird Williams on Facebook. I am not the hugest social media guy, but I do have those going. I tweet irregularly, but I'm good for the doozy. Hit me up.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know you're out there.
Okay. Good.
Let me know what's going on with you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, with your attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. I know what's going on. What can I say? I'm with you. I know what it's like.
Great.
Here's the thing, friend. Philadelphia plays a huge role in this thing. Because before Hollywood, there was Leuvenville. Sigmund Leuven got to Philadelphia in the late 1890s. Now, by 1900, he was giving Edison a run for his money. He invented a combination projector movie camera. He opened a chain of movie theaters, what might be considered the first chain of movie theaters. He came up with the idea of home movies. He would go to people's
mm-hmm.
homes, and he would film them, and he would bring them their home movie back the next day. It just didn't catch on. He was way ahead of the curve on that. And it looks to me like Edison squashed him. It looks to me like not only did Edison squash Leuven, but he also squashed Tesla. And this is where we get to the current wars, AC versus DC. Tesla came to the United States to work with Edison, but they did not get on well. And thus you get the current wars, AC versus DC. It's a fascinating study. You guys, you know, you got a lot of homework. So do I, but I'm a little bit ahead because I started as a young buck. It's a fascinating study. I would say that unless a person is going to dive into, Plato, Socrates, unless a person is actually going to delve into the greats of philosophy, music is the most profound study that one is going to undertake. Perhaps more profound because of the mechanics involved. Every instrument has its own mechanics. Some instruments, you can just touch a piano and, press a key and you get a note. However, other instruments have technique that's required just to make a note.
I hear the philosophy. I hear the research. I hear the study in how you express yourself. And that's really powerful. Not all musicians choose to sort of share what they're thinking or what's behind their thinking before they share that note.
So
what's been a pleasure listening to you is that you're almost sharing a 360 behind why you do what you do and what has come before you, and the influences around how you look at music, just that last statement around, it's important to do the study, and there is a lot of study in the mechanics of music. You talked earlier about pitch and tone and the importance of sound and the history of music. So, Bird, as people kind of think about connecting with you, I'm almost wondering, in addition to seeing you, that they might want to sit down and have a cup of coffee with you, maybe a few. So set aside that hour to really sit and have that conversation about life, because for you, music is life, and life is music. They are intertwined. I hear that as I connect with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me shout out Prince. I maintain that Prince was probably the most relevant musician, composer of the 20th century. I'm not even certain that he knew that our pitch has been moved. He composed at A440. A440 came about with the advent of radio. Y'all get at me on that, and we can talk about that. I believe that if Prince knew about the Verdi tuning, he would have used the Verdi tuning. I get beat up a little bit on that, but I do believe it to be the case. I believe that we should revert back to the Verdi tuning. Y'all get at me on that, and we can chop it up on that, because some folks find it inconsequential. I believe exactly the opposite. You know, we have the works from Kepler, Harmonici Mundi, where he describes the C major scale in these elliptical orbits. There is stuff, it's sort of scattered, but there is stuff that indicates that once we return to what's called the Verdi tuning, which is tuning from middle C rather than the A, I believe the profound things are going to happen. And somebody can tell me also, who was the French scientist who bombarded a Maltese cross with cathode rays? There was a, and I cannot remember his name to save my life, and I'm not finding it yet. A French scientist bombarded a Maltese cross with cathode rays in attempts to contact the spirit world, and that led to the experiments that led to television. So I'm very interested in that. And, you know, somebody can probably tell me the thing about radio also, because there's a thing about radio and submarines. You know, EMI grew to be a big record company, but it was a military, it was a British military technology company. And they did experiments to find out if guys in submarines would receive radio waves. So a lot of this stuff came out of military experiments. So I'm very interested in that, and somebody can enlighten me on that. I would appreciate it. Thanks.
Well, this is great. You are doing what I'm not sure any other guests have done, or I'll have to say very few guests have done, and that is provided almost cookie crumbs in terms of conversations that people can have with you when they get in touch with you, whether on Twitter or Facebook or meeting with you personally. They can cover topics like radio and pitch and tone and tuning and music history, and which is all really cool, as well as talk with you about what you're doing with WEU Williams Enterprise Unlimited.
Yes.
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 So, yeah.
Ooh la la.
Yeah. So,
yes,
ooh la
Williams
la.
Enterprises
so,
Unlimited is my umbrella company. Yeah. I also teach. I've been teaching Tai Chi for about 10 years now. I enjoy it a great deal. But Williams Enterprises Unlimited gives me an umbrella company so that I don't have to keep making up wacky monikers for things. I can name the class if I want to, but I don't necessarily have to go through the rigmarole, right? I've already done that.
Right. Well, great. Well, we are literally in that less than 60 seconds mode. So I want to thank you, Bird, for waking up early in the morning and sharing your wisdom, giving us some perspective and some history. Definitely appreciate you being you and look forward to reconnecting with you. So again, folks, if you're listening, please follow Bird on Twitter. At Bird E, so it's BIRDY Tango. You can follow him on Facebook, and you can have some conversations. As you can see, he
Absolutely.
Is definitely interested in connecting. So thanks,
Absolutely.
And have a great day.
Thank you.
Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders. Hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC. Follow Significant Business Results Radio on blogtalkradio.com/significantbusinessresults.
So you can...
you'll be able to work with that then. Okay? Okay, well, thanks again. Have a great day.